nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and a very good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. Tomorrow is the International Anti-Corruption Day that falls every year on the 9th of December. And the 2022 International Anti-Corruption Day also marks the start of efforts to mark the 20th anniversary of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. This is reflected by the international theme for this year, that is Uniting the World Against Corruption. And our local theme for South Sudan is Your Role, Your Right, Say No to Corruption, Your No Counts. That's our local theme for tomorrow's event that's going to happen here in Juba. And since the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005, there has been a lot of efforts and steps put up by the government to fight corruption. But South Sudan's anti-corruption framework is still developing, where legal instruments exist, lack of capacity, resources, and political will often hampers their implementation. And the South Sudan Penal Code Act of 2008 also provides criminal penalties for acts of corruption. And this evening, we are honored to be joined by our three guests in the studio to discuss should the fight against corruption be a major priority of the government and how should it be tackled. That's the discussion we are going to have this evening, and our lines will be open to you where you can call and be part of our discussion. 0912062079 or 0912062950. I am joined here in the studio this evening by the Right Honorable Oyet Nathaniel Pierino, who is the first Deputy Speaker for Parliamentary Affairs in the reconstituted Transitional National Legislative Assembly. Good evening, and thank you so much for coming to our studio this evening.
Thank you.
And I'm also joined by Wani Stephen, who is the Executive Director of Africa Democracy and Resilient Network. Good evening, and welcome to Radio Miraya.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I am also joined here in the studio by the Project Officer of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, SEPO, Lokuto Bismarck Simon. Good evening and welcome once again.
Thank you.
All right, Honorable, let's begin with you. Why is this day very significant for a country like South Sudan? Tomorrow, 9th December, the day of the International Anti-Corruption Day. Why should the country of South Sudan join the rest of the world in, commemorating or celebrating?
Thank you very much, Radio Miraya. The 9th December celebration of Anti-Corruption Day is very significant, not only for South Sudan, but also for the world at large. For South Sudan, we're striving towards good governance. We're striving towards democracy, rule of law. We are striving towards development and prosperity for the people of the Republic of South Sudan. And the fight against corruption should be a top priority for the government, because if we are to realize good governance, prosperity for the people of South Sudan, we must fight corruption in its entirety.
Okay. Yes, Wani Stephen is the Executive Director for Africa Democracy and Resilience Network. Should the fight against corruption be the top priority of the government?
Yes, definitely. That is, should be the top reform agenda of government, as based on the Revitalized Peace Agreement. One of the fundamental instruments here within is to establish an anti-corruption commission that will be able to deal with issue of corruption in the country. Of course, depending the assets and resources of the country should be the top priority, because without it, resources will not go to the right beneficiaries. That's why the fighting corruption should be the top government priority because of that. And based on what Honorable Deputy Speaker said, of course, the aspect of rule of law, constitutionalism are much centered when we have this constitutionalism and rule of law, if these two aspects are not there, although how much we have a very strong constitution, which is not binding, it will not really. So what we need to do is really to keep on educating. The Anti-Corruption Commission have a department, of course, for education or community engagement. They should be able to create more engagement so that people get to know why is corruption a priority to the government.
Okay, and just to remind our listeners, already I contacted members of the South Sudan Anti-Corruption Commission. They are all engaged because I think they are planning for the event here tomorrow. They could not make it towards our discussion this evening. They should have been here actually to also tell us more about the activities since the establishment of the South Sudan Anti-Corruption Commission on the 26th of June 2006. Let me find out from you as the project officer. SEPO have been all over the country doing a lot of work. I want to draw your attention, Bismarck, to this local theme of your role, your right, say no to corruption, and your no counts. Is it very easy, given the circumstances under which we are living in this country, to say no to corruption when it involves money, cash?
Yeah, it is, the team suggests, and it is actually at its right position, because it, fighting corruption is not one man's so. It requires collective responsibility where everybody's right, everybody say actually counts. I would like to give an example of Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
In Tanzania, they write on public places that if you see corruption taking place on this, you call this number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not you involved in the corruption practices, but when you notice that there's unusual things happening, you have to call a number to inform somebody that something wrong is going. Mm-hmm. That is actually to the citizens of Tanzania. So in our context as South Sudan, it is workable when we put our minds together, especially for on the north of this year's team, international team, that uniting the world against corruption for development, peace and security. Corruption kills development, corruption kills peace, and corruption kills actually security. So it is my role, your role. Let us put our hands together to end this animal called corruption. Why am I saying this? Because if you look at Article 143 of the Transitional Constitution of South Sudan 2011 as amended, it talks about the establishment of the Anti-Corruption Commission. The following articles, it talks about the functions of the commission. So we have a body that is actually given a legitimate role to document. Let me put it under the functions, is just to document and write the report that's submitted to Minister of Justice.
Okay. The Right Honorable Oyeta, to what extent do you think the current members of the RTNLA are working hard to stamp or to minimize corruption in this country? And also, let me, before you answer that, is corruption rampant in this country? Because in many cases, the definition of corruption varies from what happens from one place to another. Do you believe that there is corruption taking place in this country?
Corruption is rampant in South Sudan, also elsewhere in the world. In South Sudan, the reports, the global reports on transparency by Transparency International ranks South Sudan to be on the top of the list. And that indicates that by itself, South Sudan is very corrupt. That is according to the Transparency International. And of course, by experience, when you hear people talk and also when you read the media and also when you see what is going around, you of course know that corruption is all over the place. As far as the RTNLA is concerned, the RTNLA, of course, is the parliament of the Republic of South Sudan. We are charged with the oversight responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We oversee what the executive does as far as the governance of this country is concerned. And we actually put to task the ministers and whoever is handling public, you know, resources to ensure that corruption is not condoned in governance.
Okay. And right now, the question, people, I want to quote this statement by the president. He has repeated this many, many times in public rallies and also at the State of the Nation address. And he has always said, and I quote, "Whoever has taken what does not belong to him will be forced to disgorge it." So that's what he has always been saying, and that whoever have been taking what does not belong to him will be forced to return it back. Just like the Kenyan proverb that if a leader limps, all the others start limping too. So to what extent have you, or the previous, what from your background, the previous parliament, have they taken this statement very serious to make sure it becomes a policy statement?
Well, this is about zero tolerance,
yes,
on corruption.
Yes.
Which has been declared a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's always
been
repeated.
We have seen that nobody has been so far tried.
Yeah.
On corruption charges. The other day we were for a workshop organized by Anti-Corruption, jointly Anti-Corruption and the TNLA.
Yeah.
They said they have documented 413 cases of corruption. They have investigated them, and 114 of those cases, they found that they have merits.
They qualify
to be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So they submitted this to the Minister of Justice, and the Minister of Justice turned it into a pillow. They sleep on it. They are not doing anything about it. So this indicates that the statement which you just quoted,
mm-hmm,
which is to do with zero tolerance on corruption, is actually killed in the Ministry of Justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can the MPs resurrect this case and maybe summon the minister, or after knowing all this?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? We are working on that.
Okay. Yeah. So before we hear from other guests here, in your own opinion, what is the best way of combating corruption in this country? In your own opinion. Yes, right, Honorable. What is the best way of tackling corruption in this country?
The best way of tackling corruption in the Republic of South Sudan, one, is to fix the legal framework. The legal framework, as of now, does not give the prosecutory powers to the Anti-Corruption Commission. We want the Anti-Corruption Commission to be empowered with the prosecution capabilities, such that if they have cases, they don't have to refer to the Minister of Justice or whoever, but they can initiate prosecution once they are convinced that corruption, there is a prima facie case of corruption. Two, political will. We need political will to emanate from the highest level of leadership in this country, such that it can cascade to the lower levels, so that we don't condone corruption. The declaration on zero tolerance on corruption cannot take effect without the aspect of political will. Another one is to strengthen the judiciary, reform and strengthen the judiciary. Judiciaries will be able to try cases of corruption without fear or favor. And probably the last is to ensure that the public should also be given free space, should be given, you know, freedom to report on any corrupt practices. They should, without anybody intimidating them or hunting them down, they should actually come forward and be able to report on cases of corruption.
Okay. Yes, Bismarck, picking out from where the Right Honorable have stopped, to what extent do you think, or in which way do you think the citizens can be involved in the fight against corruption?
Okay, as I mentioned before, it's a collective responsibility. And then, Honorable Deputy Speaker has mentioned the four key points And what we as citizens feel will be taken necessary is for the parliament to enact what we call whistleblowers act to give the powers for citizens to actually say so that it becomes a defense to the citizens that under the Whistleblowers Act, we have the right to report corruptions. Otherwise, intimidation will be there. And number two, we need to capacitate the institution itself, the anti-corruption actually commission, right from national level and 10 county level. Because we know the level of conflict has taken most of the institutions away from the county level. Even at the other states, there are no other offices. So we need this office to be functioning with the basis that actually they are given the total actually powers to initiate prosecution. Otherwise, it becomes a song every year, and we don't see tangible results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me find out from Wani, after hearing from the Right Honorable First Deputy Speaker, that the Anti-Corruption Commission says so far they have 413 cases. Out of these, 114 are ready to be prosecuted, and they have handed over the files to the Minister of Justice. Does it worry that not even a single person one day since this commission was established have ever been tried, taken to jail, and then prosecuted, and maybe people recovers what was lost?
Thank you. I think the way forward has been clearly stated by the Honorable Deputy Speaker.
Mm.
But what we need to take back is to take on our geo politics or geo laws that we started before the Anti-Corruption Act of 2009 that we had by South Sudan. It gives powers for the Anti-Corruption Commission to investigate and prosecute. But when you look at now, what is happening is the anti-corruption is just given the mandate to investigate. And then the sole prosecution docket is given to the Ministry of Justice. What we need just to correspond when it comes to independence of institution, that means the Anti-Corruption Commission should be given the mandate as an independent and one of the respected institutions in the country to investigate and to prosecute. Back cases, the President mentioned clearly, the members that were accused, the 75 that were accused, the president clearly mentioned that whoever is involved within should refund the public fund. That is one aspect of zero tolerance. But the other thing we just need to see is what is making the Anti-Corruption Commission to be handcuffed is the issue of not respecting the checks and balance among these institutions. The anti-corruption may do its work, and then maybe the Ministry of Justice will say, okay, it's now a mandate to proceed. But at the end of the day, you find these cases are down. So that means within the new bill that will be enacted to become the law, we should be able to see that the independency of the commission is granted. And then what Bismarck mentioned, of course, the Whistleblower Protection Act is very important in fighting corruption in this country. When you look at the cases of corruption in this country, that deals with public procurement, that details in aspect of private sector when it comes to government service delivery. And these are cases that really need to be monitored. Transparency in terms of public procurement in the parliament need to be really monitored, because these are committees that need to investigate public procurement, the openness, transparency in the process of soliciting for service provision to the government institution. And corruption is not only in government. It's even in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's even in our families. It is even in schools. It is even in the churches. This is what we need to know. So accepting misuse of resources, even at your family level, is corruption.
So changing the mentality, the thinking that I own this country, we own this country, is the root cause of not respecting the rule of law.
Okay. We shall be hearing more from you later on. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Those are all our lines. Or you can send us a short SMS to our SMS number, 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. Tomorrow is the International Day of the Anti-Corruption. And our local theme for this year in South Sudan is your role, your right, say no to corruption, and your no counts. That's our local theme. And the international theme is uniting the world against corruption. And in the studio here, we have Right Honorable Oyet Nathaniel Pierino, the first Deputy Speaker for Parliamentary Affairs in the reconstituted Transition National Legislative Assembly, Wani Steven, Executive Director, Africa Democracy and Resilience Network, Lokuto Bismarck Simon, Project Officer, Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, SEPO, as it's known commonly here in this country. And we are looking at should the fight against corruption be the top priority of the government, including the citizens. You have heard from our guests here in the studio. You can call us right now, as our lines are already open for you to call on 092-96-86-297. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. Hello.
Hello, Charlie Martin.
Good evening.
Evening to you. This is Neil Charlie from Berkeley.
Okay. Neil, go ahead.
My question will go direct to the guest. Let me say hi to them. My question is going to the guests, the three guests in the studio, the first deputy speaker in the National Legislative Assembly, and the executive director.
Okay.
My question is, if the law or if the anti-corruption is not been implemented in the present position, and the justice himself, the one dealing with the judiciary for procedures, who to implement the corruption, or who to stop the corruption in the country?
Okay. Thank you so much, Neil, for your question in Bentiu. Hello? Hello?
Good evening, Sunny Madden, and I'm really appreciate you.
Good evening to your name.
Yes, Marielle from WoW.
Okay, Marielle, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I recognize the president of the business studio. I want to ask all of them, like one of the legislators. You know, we South Sudanese, when we were fighting the Jalaba, we fought it in terms of using our resources to develop the country.
Yeah.
But now we are confused. Our resources is still with Jalaba or what now? Because we are not seeing any change. We are not seeing anything where our resources have been channeled.
Okay.
A second question to other guys there. Is it the anti-corruption is independent? And it has the power to pursue those who corrupt money, those who are practicing the corruption in the country. So for example, like 75 people that were found taking money somewhere, and now the other one is still exiting the government now. And yes,
thank you so much, Marielle from WOW. We can pick one more and give the platform for our city guest here to respond. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Mr. Al Khair, Sanil Madden.
Mr. Al Nur, Ismail Darabinwen.
Garang Garang, si Warkwaj.
Okay, Garang Garang, Marahbek.
So, Alimashi, le you betana si studio.
Okay.
سؤالك الآتي إذا نفس المفوضية في الناس عملوا في فساد دم منو بيحاسبهم؟
أوكي
نمر واحد نمر اثنين المفروضية زمن كان عينو في جنوب السودان عشان يعرف الفساد في جنوب السودان بيعرفوا كيف هم بقود في المكتب بس ولا بيمشوا عشان يشوف ده منو عمل فساد في دولة.
أوكي.
شكرا جزيلا.
أوكي. غارن شكرا كارلس. Yes, let's begin with the right honorable first deputy speaker from Niel in Bentium, and he says it seems like the South Sudan anti-corruption is handicapped and they don't have the teeth to bite, and in this scenario, who is to take the lead in the fight against corruption in this country?
Okay, thank you. Yes, it is true that the commission since its establishment has been going through a lot of challenges. We have sat with them. We had several meetings with them as parliament to understand exactly what is the problem. They indicated things like the lack of political will. They also indicated the lack of finances to run their
affairs,
including they also lack premises, because where their office where they operate from is also being rented.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlord the other day, I'm told, evicted them, but then they pleaded with the landlord. So they have been facing a lot of challenges. Now, this challenge, of course, is governmental challenge. It is a challenge that we in the legislature are very concerned about. We want this very critical institution of governance to be capacitated. We have already increased their budget in the last budget in this financial year.
Mm-hmm.
We increased their budget, and we also instructed the Minister of Finance, the Ministry, to disburse their budget as required. This is to enable the Commission to, you know, carry out its mandate. The other question is
the resources
that we fought Khartoum and giving a lot of promises, but now what is happening? Yes, you know, I want to link this to corruption. You know, corruption is not only about money. It is not really all about money. It is any abuse of powers. Once you are entrusted with an office and you are given powers or authority, the moment you abuse that powers that you have for your private gains, it is actually what is called corruption. It can be political abuse, it can be financial abuse, it can be social abuse. For instance, nepotism is nothing to do with money, but it is you favoring your relatives, bringing them, for instance, you appoint them in your office. This is also corruption. Okay, many of course people, you see, somebody was telling me yesterday that if you want to know in South Sudan, whether at the national or at the state level, if you want to know who is the minister
in that particular office,
you ask the office manager or you ask the receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
Of his or her tribe.
You will automatically know that this person.
Automatically, you know that this one was brought by
the relative,
by a person of the same tribe, who is sitting in the, you know, in the office there. So these are forms of corruption that we are talking about: bribery, you know, not doing what you are supposed to do. You know, so all these are things to do with corruption. Now, of course, we have been fighting Khartoum-based regime, and we said once we get our independence, our country will be the best in terms of governance, in terms of development, in terms of prosperity, resource management, and so forth. Now, the question coming is that they are seeing the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The question is to the leaders of the Republic of South Sudan. They have to answer, where is the promise and where is the independent and peace dividends that people fought for? The last, probably, okay, somebody was saying, is Anti-Corruption Commission independent?
Yeah.
Yes. It is constitutionally, legally independent institution. It's one of those institutions which is supposed to be, you know, independent. But it's uncapped by its mandate. You know, the mandate to pursue every individual in government, beginning from the president up to the cleaner, whether they are corrupt in the office or not, they have to, you know, pursue them. This is what makes it very difficult for them to really have goodwill from, you know, those who are wielding powers in mm-hmm. the country.
Okay.
But of course, we as parliament, as I told you, we already engaged with the Anti-Corruption Commission because we are pursuing our oversight responsibility. We called them several times to the office, and we are discussing it. We already held a workshop with them, and we are already moving forward. People in the commission, if they become corrupt, who will, you know,
or persecute
them? Well, nobody is above the law. Once they are proven that they also in the commission are compromised, the law must also catch up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and there is another question here, and Bismarck, you can tackle this. The question is, has civil society organization, what is your role in tackling corruption in South Sudan? That's coming in from Johnson here in Juba. The role of the civil society in terms of tackling corruption. Maybe we can pick more calls as we combine them together. 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. Or you can also send us a short SMS like what Johnson have done to our SMS number. 0912177141. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. Hello?
Sadi Martin.
Yes.
Good evening. Mr. Jacob from Tomping.
Okay, Jacob from Tomping. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I would like to know from anti-corruption, how many people have they so far handed or they prosecuted in their department? Thank you.
Hello, Redimira.
Hello, Salaam alaikum. Sadi Martin.
Tamam.
أنا بشكر الأساتذة القاعدين في الاستديو وخاصة السيد الحسن يتكلم عن حتة معينة كده وأنا بتجربة بعرف إن الحتة المعينة هو يتكلم عنه هذا الموضوع الأساسي قاعد يدمر البلد أساسا هل هو إنه جبت أخوك وجبت جنا أختك وجبت جنا فلان بتاعك خديته معك في المكتب وخليته عشان إنه لو في ريبورت ذاته ما بقدر بريبورت برا ما بقدر بقول الوزير الفلاني قاعد ياكل قريب بتاعنا إيفن في جاستس في جاستس سيستم ذاته هناك دولة ضغطه الزول ده ذاته لما يشيلوا اسمه ده زي ما قال وذكر قبل قال في 100 وكم كيس ودو في وزاره بتاع العدل
114
وهم ما قالوا فيه حاجه ما بفكره بسيطه انه الناس ذيل هم الناس معروفين او هو ده شبكه ده قاعد بيناك ده قاعد بيناك ده قاعد بيناك الكيس ده لما نجي نكتره ولو ده برضه بيناك بكتره وبس قاعدين زي ما قالوا الكلام ده يتكلم يعني محللين ايفن على مستوى السياسه برضه قالوا نفس الكلام ده انه البلد قاعد يموت كده ده لانه ده ناس ما يعني بس قاعدين يتعبوا معهم ناس بس يعني هم ما دايرين نفسها البلد تمشي لقدام.
اوكي.
عشان كده حقيقة هو من بالضبط كده ونساند الاخ الاسكي انه صحيح لو انا دايرين البلد كان يمشي قدام ما مهم انه ده قريبه قاعد يشتغل معه بالضبط كده لو دير شغل غيمشي لقدام جيب زول البعيد منك ما تجيب زول القريب منك.
اوكي.
لان الزول القريب منك ده ما يحترم القانون وما يحترم باقي الناس وما يحترم
Shukran Khalis. Okay. Hello, Redimira. Hello, Sanu Marshan.
Good evening.
Hello, Sanu Marshan.
Bilfa
Mirmalakan.
Okay. Bilfa
Marhabik. Shukran Khalis. Asal betai bamsi direct le anti-corruption. Anti-corruption, they are to wasa. gata amul mashara gama secretariat huwa executive udaya to majority amulta benal minister wo secretariat tan tak da tar no mona ga namul corruption be da
shukran ka alisa like I said mindina zol min commission with South Sudan anti-corruption because we invited them. They said they are very busy organizing for tomorrow's activities. They have been carrying a lot of awareness in town, like you just heard from the Right Honorable First Deputy Speaker, that they have been also having meetings, workshops in Juba. So we could not get one of the participants to come from their commission to be with us here. We hope they will be here to explain to us some other time. There was a question from Johnson saying, what is the role of the civil society in combating corruption in South Sudan? Any of you can take this question, maybe Wani or Bismarck.
Okay, let me begin by actually our role as civil society organization. We have many roles, and among the list, we are doing monitoring and documentation of cases of corruption in the country.
Okay, statistically, this year, do you have any statistic of how many cases you have documented, and why do you submit it to whom?
Okay, as per now, I cannot mention it here because these are cases that others are sensitive in nature.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are doing is we are doing monitoring and documentation.
Mm. How will you describe? Is it massive or at sub-national scale?
Of course, it is massive. As the institution has mentioned, 413.
Yes.
So also across the country, the cases are actually, of course, it is varying in nature, but the cases are acute. Secondly, we are doing awareness raising to the citizens to know their rights, to what they are demanding, and what role they can play. And then secondly, we are advocating for a change. One, like we need to see a reform in the constitution in the upcoming review to see that the commission of anti-corruption is independent. And then the second point, we are also doing actually education in terms of giving trainings to people. We are doing also research on actually what is the best practices when we are doing comparative analysis.
Mm-hmm.
As the Right Honorable Deputy Speaker mentioned, according to Transparency International, normally South Sudan is either ranked the second last or the first or the second or the third, you know. So these are areas that we are asking ourselves. We need to investigate what are the scales that are used or the benchmarks that are used to qualify a country to be ranked either the past or the last. So those are the things that civil societies are doing. And also we are supporting institutions in building capacity. Like for example, we are doing trainings to members of some institutions in their line ministries that actually... of course, you cannot. We are moved away from naming and shaming. We are in partnership. So, in case there is a gap, what helping hand can you make to fix that gap?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Wani.
Thank you. I think civil society are playing a critical role when it comes to fight against corruption. One of the thing is recently we engage the youth in terms of reviewing the anti-corruption bill, and that's a very critical aspect that we do in terms of influencing policies when it comes to the laws that we need to see in this country. So the anti-corruption bill that we have reviewed, of course, there are a lot of interest that we want to see, especially the independence of the anti-corruption commission to investigate and prosecute. In the bills, we really stated clearly, and we hope when it reaches to the final blessing, which is the parliament, they should be able to see that aspect that we really need to see the independence of the anti-corruption commission. And the second thing is South Sudan is a member to the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. We have signed these treaties, and these treaties need to be localized in terms of our practice at the institutional level. That means separation of powers within the institutions. Let's say the judiciary and then the anti-corruption commission. So the separation of powers will be, and their mandates will be clearly stated and clearly to be respected. And that is the advocacy level that we are seeing, we are doing as civil society. And then
there was this issue of he was commenting about the issue of nepotism. from Yambio.
Of course.
That it is actually one of the major factors killing development in this country.
Nepotism,
because you cannot report your uncle.
Nepotism is corruption. That's why we should avoid recruiting our relatives. We should avoid making our relatives to become our private secretaries in our offices, because these are the hidden secret of the family, which you cannot bring to a public institution that need different diversity when it comes to issue dealing with the public affairs.
Okay.
And then the other thing, corruption is not only money. We have seen misuse of government institutions, apparatus, let's say vehicles, in the roads. You see a
in weddings,
you see government vehicle that is meant for really government service. You see carrying charcoals, carrying locks, and here we're fighting logging. And that gives us the aspect of misuse of some of these resources that we have. So corruption is not all about money. Corruption is also abuse of institutions' assets, like vehicles, like offices. At times you go to office, you go at 10, and you're supposed to be in the office. This is a public office. You're supposed to be there at 8 to give service to the public, but people will be waiting for you.
Okay.
Still here. So
right.
Those are aspects of corruption.
Right.
So we need to move away from that ideology of thinking government institution is a family institution, which is not the case.
There is another question coming from Matthew in Awele, and it's going to the Right Honorable Oyet, and he says, Honorable, you have just told us that the commission, formed by the commission this week, that 413 cases have been investigated and 114 have been submitted to the Ministry of Justice for corruption, and like you said, they have sat on them. Now the question he's asking, as a member of parliament, what is going to be your role here right now as MPs to ensure that this case is revisited and taken up seriously? That's from Matthew in Awele, town of Northern Baharagaza State. And another question here is coming in from James Parr Dobo from Makudi Payam, and he says, you have seen in town, corruption is not only, like you said, Honorable, it's not only money, but in South Sudan, there are so many forms of corruption. And he wanted to find out from you, as a member of parliament at that organ there, would you be pushing to ensure that people are convicted and taken to jail, and that will restore the hope and aspiration of the people of South Sudan? That's coming from James Parr and Makudi Payam. Just to remind you, Right Honorable, also you have seen, you have heard in other countries, vice president are being arrested and taken to jail, and the former vice president who was of Argentina is also being sentenced to 6 years in jail. And also we saw this man in Zambia, our neighboring country here, the former vice president of Uganda was sentenced to jail and he spent some time in Luzira prison. So people want to see this happening here in South Sudan.
Thank you for all those questions. The question about the Minister of Justice relaxing on the cases on those files that were forwarded to them by the Anti-Corruption Commission, what will the Parliament do? As I indicated earlier, that we have commenced discussion with Anti-Corruption Commission. We had several meetings, we did workshop, and we invited other stakeholders to the workshop. The Parliament was there, the Anti-Corruption Commission was there, the Minister of Justice was there, the judiciary was there, civil society also, they were there, and other law enforcement agencies, they also attended the workshop. We are discussing ways of tackling the issue of corruption in the country. We are going to reach there. We'll reach a point where, of course, these files will not remain with the Minister of Justice.
Okay.
It has to go to court so that due process of law can take its course. The issue of having functional institutions such that powerful individuals within the country can face justice over corruption matters, yes, this is all our dream. We are working towards that. You understand we're implementing the peace agreement and it's coming with a lot of reforms.
Yeah.
When reforms including also the separation of powers, the very critical and the beautiful aspect of the peace agreement is the aspect of multi-party democracy. You know, the challenges of the past is because we had only one party, the SPLM, which was dominant. There were only four MPs in the parliament who were from the opposition. Four only.
But now we have so many.
Now we have multi-party.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Honorable, so our time is already up. We are running out of time. We have left only 2 minutes to go to the newsroom. As we conclude, I wanted to give you a final remark on the International Anti-Corruption Day. That's going to be tomorrow. More special about the role of citizens in joining hand together with the stakeholders in combating corruption in 30 seconds.
My final comment is let the citizens and the government pay keen attention on the aspect of fighting corruption, because the only way we can develop our country, we can ensure good governance, is if this vice is not in the governance of our country, both in the public and also in the private sector.
Thank you very much. Yes, Wani, in 30 seconds.
We need to start engaging. We need to work with government as partners. And it's our responsibility as citizens to keep on monitoring and questioning for accountability when it comes to issue with public services.
Thank you very much. Yes, Bismarck.
Oh, yes. My message is, okay, fighting corruption is everyone's responsibility, basing right from individual to public. So let us not forget that accountability will follow us wherever necessary.
Thank you so much, Lokuto Bismarck, Simon, Project Officer of SEPO, and Wani Stephen, Executive Director, Africa Democracy and the Resilient Network, and the Right Honorable Oyet Nathaniel Pierino, First Deputy Speaker for Parliamentary Affairs in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. I thank you so much for coming, and that's it we have for you this evening. The news is coming next in English at the top of the hour at 6 p.m. Join my colleague David Lucan for the second hour of Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. Stay tuned.